It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. It's such an honor for us to be here and be a part of Reunion Sunday and just see all of you here. And I'll confess it that walking down that hallway from Sunday school and by that fellowship hall and those wonderful smells coming out of there, it was hard not to take a detour. But don't get worried. I always tell folks, you're never in danger when a fat preacher's between you and lunch. Take one of these little skinny guys, you may be in trouble. But when you look at a guy like me, you know this guy's not going to be getting in the way of your lunch. I appreciate the revival atmosphere, don't you? Just the atmosphere that's in the service today. That the Lord is just here with us, and I appreciate His presence. I'd like for you to turn today to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter number 1. And I'll say this has been on my heart for several weeks now in prayer for this service today. And just really, I didn't know where we were going in the revival, but this service today, I've had this scripture on my heart, and I'll try to talk to you here this morning, the burden of our heart, and see what the Lord will do for us. Let's pick up the story. Start with just verse number 1, and we'll be reading down through verse number 7. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. I want you to notice verse 6 now. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Drop to verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I want to preach to us today from this story on headed home for the harvest. Headed home for the harvest. This little book of Ruth, it's so small in stature when you put it on a shelf beside all the volumes of this divine library. It just seems so small, but it sparkles with such great gems of truth and help and hope for those who read it. It's a life story. It's a love story. It's a historical story. It's a religious story. And there's so many things to be gleaned from little book here this morning, but really my burden today with the help of the Holy Ghost is to look past the story to the story behind the story. I like to reach in here to the rubies contained in Ruth today and pull out a story that has a glorious message of hope, of help, of healing for those who find ourselves at times living like Naomi. We find ourselves living like this Old Testament prodigal, as one writer called her. And it lets us know that no matter where you find yourself today, isn't that what Reunion Sunday's all about? That you can come home. It really doesn't matter how far away you've drifted, where you find yourself, what kind of mess Moab has left you in. There is a harvest today, and we're inviting you to come home and be part of the harvest. Let me jump directly into the Word of God today and just look at this story. And you notice, first of all, in a story of this soul that's headed home now for a harvest, notice, first of all, a decision. that left her in ruins. When we're introduced to her right off the bat, we find her on her way out. We don't get a lot about her history. We don't know where she was. When we're introduced to Naomi, we find her headed in the wrong direction. She is leaving the land of promise and going to the land of Moab. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, goes, but he doesn't go by himself. He, his wife, and his two sons. So when we meet her, the decision's already been made. She's on her way in the wrong direction. But don't you notice something here? She's going in the wrong direction. And really, it's not entirely her fault. It's probably not all her decision. She finds herself headed out and in the wrong way because of a decision that was not entirely upon her shoulders. But she's going in a direction that's going to leave her living in a backslidden condition before the story is over. And it begs the question, why would anyone leave the land of blessing for a land of backsliding? Why would anyone leave the house of bread? That's what Bethlehem means. Why would they leave the house of bread and go to a land that's cursed by God? I don't know what the answer is all the time, but I know what it was in Naomi's case. For Scripture is very clear. She's leaving because there's a grave famine that's in the land now. When the judges ruled, the Bible opens our narrative up by letting us know there was a famine in the land. And so they left the land of blessing because the land of blessing had a barren spell now. They've got a place where things are just not going great. And it cautions us to not make decisions when we're down. Because when you make a decision when you're down, it's virtually always the wrong decision. The house of bread, Bethlehem, is a place blessed by God. It lets us know you can be the right person and you can be in the right place, and you still have those times of barrenness. Bethlehem, the place that's the place of God, that's blessed by God. It's now in a time of a struggle. And they got discouraged in the time of struggle, and they leave the blessing of the Lord. What do we always say when we're thinking about going to another church or we're thinking about walking out on God completely? We don't do that in a time of revival. We don't do that in a time when everything's going good. It's the time that we feel that barrenness and we feel the pressure of the hour that we're living in. And we make that, I'm just not getting fed here anymore. This is just something is missing. And evidently that's what happens with Elimelech and Naomi. They decide to walk away. They decide to leave because of this famine that's in the land. They're leaving, and it shows for us, because of a great famine that's in the land, but because that there is also a great failure in leadership. That's why there's a famine in the land. Verse 25 of the chapter preceding this, in the last chapter of Judges, just simply said there was no king in Israel at that time, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, it sounds like a day and hour that we're living in, does it not? Everybody does it their own way. It was a great failure in leadership nationally. But the tragedy is that there was a great failure in the leadership of the home. They made a decision. It's marked by disobedience. Canaan was the land that was given them for promise. Bethlehem was the right place for them to be. If they're going to be blessed by God, they've got to stay in Bethlehem. You can't go there. God told Joshua, said, come not among those nations that remain. Don't go to those nations. Don't mix with those people. But because things are not going good right now, they are disobedient to the commandment of God. It shows great distrust. They don't trust God. It evidences a lack of faith in God. Elimelech's name means God is my king. He's not living up to his name because he doesn't trust God. Now, he's going to leave. He looks at the famine. Things are not ever going to get any better. It's never going to be any better than this. We might as well go somewhere else and try something else for a change. I wonder today if there's some of us who are not living up to our name. We know better than what we're living. We know better than where we're at. We know better than the things we've taken into our lives. But circumstances have come our way and caused us to go out from that which we know to be true. And now, instead of living in a land of blessing,
blessing. We find ourselves living in a land that's cursed by God, and we can never do right going in the wrong direction.
Listen, there's those that probably stayed the course in Bethlehem, but Elimelech, he just doesn't trust God. That's the bottom line to it all. When we get discouraged, we decide, it's never going to get any better. And it evidences a lack of trust. God, you're not going to turn this around. You're just going to leave me here to starve to death. I want you to notice something. We find it later in Naomi's testimony. When she comes home, she says, I went out full. She left. They didn't really feel the pressure of it yet. The very testimony she gives lets us know that they still had a lot. There was a lot going for them at that time. She said, I went out full and I'm coming back empty. When I left, I still had everything I needed. You see, that's the way it is. Sometimes we jump the gun and make decisions on supposition. I believe this is what's going to happen. That's what's happening to Elimelech. The famine is bad and we're going to lose it all. He's not really feeling the effects of it yet, but he just can see the direction that it's going, and he launches out and makes a decision that is entirely the wrong decision. It's marked by the distance. Moab's not very far away. Get a Bible map. Look in your maps or your Bible. Circle Bethlehem. Look how close Moab is. Matter of fact, you can see it. You could stand on the hills of Bethlehem and see the land of Moab. Isn't that how we do? Not going to go very far. I'm not going to go very far. I just got to try something different. I'm spinning my wheels here. I'm not getting, life's just not working out. But I won't go very far. Oh, what's the cliche we know? Sin takes you farther than you intend to go. But look at the distance. Look at the duration of it. Sin keeps you longer than you're going to stay. We're just going to go down to sojourn, the Bible said. Just going to be there a little while. Once the famine's over, preacher, we'll be back to church. We're going to come back. I just got to take care of some issues, and I'm going to come back. But 10 years later, and they're still living in Moab. 10 years out of the house of God, out of the will of God. Oh, how long have we been there? Sin takes you further than you want to go. It holds you longer than you want to stay. We never intended to go as far as we have, but here we are. Notice the defiled. It's he, his wife, his two sons. You never go to Moab by yourself. Always has an effect on those that are with you. When you sin, when you backslide, you cause others to do it. He took his sons with him, and they're gone to Moab, and he dies, but they still don't come home. Now dad's gone, but they don't come home because now his sons are attached to Moab. They have gotten wives, and that's the danger of going to that place. You may stay true. You may hold your integrity, but your children will attach themselves in that foreign country, in that land of Moab. They get things that attach to them now, and now they can't leave. He's dead, but they're still there. Now because the boys have got Moab attachments now, and now even though he's down, Naomi still cannot come home. She still can't get away from it. Until now, this once proud woman finds herself bereft of a husband. One grave wasn't enough. You'd think we wisen up and start home when we've lost as much as we've lost already. But sin gets a hold of her heart, and that's one grave. That's two graves, and she's still not leaving. There's three graves in Moab. Now, there's time. Now I've got to get... How much more does sin have to take for us before we realize it's time to come home? I don't want to dwell on the three graves in Moab today. I want to preach today about the homecoming of Naomi. I want to preach today about Naomi getting out of Moab before there's a fourth grave added. That decision left her in ruins, but there is a desire that launched her return. Down in Moab, looking at what Moab has cost her. Three graves, as she said, I went out full, but look what it's cost me here. But down there, she heard a message somehow,
somehow there was a message she heard about the harvest. Somewhere down in the land of backsliding, a message got through that said God has blessed his people and giving them bread. Oh, I wish somebody could hear the message today at Bethel Chapel's in revival right now. There's a spirit of revival among us today. It's more than just a formality of reunion Sunday. There is an atmosphere in the house. Nothing but the blood. Power in the blood. Jesus loves me. It's a message that said there's a harvest in the house of God and you're invited back to the harvest. God's people were having revival, and here she was in the land of Moab. She's surrounded by people who know nothing of God. She's surrounded by people who don't understand her. She never, you know, when you've got stuff in your heart and you've got had God in your heart, you never really fit in with the world anymore. You're there, but there's always something in your heart that's pulling you back to Judah. There's pulling you back to Bethlehem. She's there. She remembered what it was like to sit at the table of the Lord. She remembered what it was like to see the tabernacle of the Lord. She remembered what it was like to be in the presence of God. She remembered what it was like to enjoy the blessings of God. And what had Moab given her? Only a place to bury her dead. Moab never gives. It always takes. And that's what the world does. Hey, weigh out the decision today. Look at it and look what sin is costing you. Look what it's taking from you. And yet there is an opportunity to go home for the time of the harvest. So why Israel sat down by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. We wept when we remembered Zion. When we got to thinking about how it used to be and how we used to worship and how we used to feel. Oh, that day in my life when God used to deal with me, they wept when they remembered Zion. There's a message she heard about the harvest, and she reacted accordingly, for there's a moment she headed home for the harvest. Then she arose. Remorse must be followed by repentance. It's not enough to say, I want to get back. There got to be a time you say, I'm going to get back. The prodigal sat in the pig pen. He said, how much better do my father's servants have than I have it right here? My lowest servant in my father's house is better off than I am. I will arise and go to my father's house. There's so many that have that thought, but they don't have the follow through. I'd like to somebody in the house today to follow through on what you've been thinking. We've been thinking about coming back. We've been thinking about getting saved. We've been thinking about making a change in our life. We've been thinking about turning a situation around. Today's the day you need to follow through on that. It'd just get up from where you're at and start home today. It'd turn around. Naomi got up and said, all right, there's a revival back. There's a harvest in Bethlehem. Where are you going, Naomi? I'm going home for a harvest. I'm going back to where I came from. Back to the house of God. Back to the blessings of God. It's a long journey, Naomi. I realize that. But you got to start somewhere. I'm getting up and I'm headed home for the harvest. You see, the alarming thing about Israel is, I quoted that Psalm 137 where they said by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, we wept when we thought of Zion. But you know, the alarming thing is that when the Babylonian captivity ended and the gates were opened up, it was only a handful that left. Just a small remnant that ever left Babylon. Only a small group. Oh, and I wonder, you know, you cried when you thought about Zion. You wept when you remembered Zion. And yet when you had the opportunity to go back to Zion, you didn't leave. I'd like to ask somebody today, why would you stay in Babylon when your heart's in Jerusalem? Why would you continue living the way you're living when you know you're not happy with it? You know when you lay down at night, you're fearful of dying, lost, and going to hell. Why would you stay there when your heart's with us, when your heart is at home? You might as well just throw your heart across the line and follow it in today. Naomi got up. Naomi arose. When will you get up from what's got you down? It's a bad decision. You made the wrong decision. And it's time to turn that around with the right decision and come back home today. She went forth out of that place. There's got to be that moment when you get up and get out. You can't have Bethlehem as long as you're sitting in Moab. There's got to be a day when they got up and went on their way. They got to return. There's got to be a coming back. There's got to be a separation. There's got to be a day. And you say, I'm sick of the way I'm living. I'm sick of Moab. I'm sick of the cost. I'm tired of looking at the graves in Moab. I've got to get up and go back home. I know what you're saying, preacher. Look what a mess I've made. You don't understand what a mess I'm in right now. But look at Naomi. Look what a mess that Moab made out of Naomi. She's only a shadow of who she was when she left. Sin so damaged her, it so changed her, that her name, which meant pleasant, joyful, that's what Naomi means. Even some would rent the joy of Jehovah. But when she came home, she met the people, said, oh, don't. They said, Naomi's coming home. Don't call me that. I'm not the woman I was when I left here. Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. Bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. Yeah, look how she came home, preacher. Bitter. Bankrupt. Broken. That's what Moab would do to you. But really the important fact this morning is Naomi came home. That's the important fact this morning. I wish you hadn't stayed that long, Naomi. I wish that you hadn't let Moab take all that from you, Naomi. But we cannot go back and redo the past, but we can salvage the present. Naomi, the important fact is you just got home. That's the important fact this morning. Really, we cannot stay in yesterday and what yesterday cost us. The important fact is we're home. It's reunion Sunday and we're home. We're in the right place. We're going in the right direction. And Naomi, God's about to do something in your life that you can never imagine. God's got you back where he can bless you. Do you realize that's why God's been after you? That's why conviction's tormenting your sleep. You can't rest and you can't eat and you feel so agitated. It's the grace of God that wants to get you out of where you're living and get you back where I can bless you. I'd like to do something to your life. I'd like to bless you, but I can't bless you living in Moab. But if you'll come back to Bethlehem, I can bless you when you get there. See a decision that left her in ruins? A desire that launched a return. We close today by talking briefly about the deliverance that led to her rejoicing. See, this story, if you go to the fourth chapter, this story ends so very differently than it started. It starts with remorse, but it ends with rejoicing. It starts with death, but it ends with deliverance. It begins with dishonor in the promise of God, but it ends with the promise again and honoring God for his blessing. It seems that when Naomi comes home, those scars will damage her life forever. It seems that she'll never recover the love and the rejoicing and that fruitfulness in her fragrant name. She'll never get back to where she was. But there's two things about to happen in Naomi's life. One is going to be when a reject meets the Redeemer. There's something about to happen. There's going to be a meeting in your life, Naomi, where Ruth the reject meets Boaz the Redeemer. And a birth is going to happen in your family. It's going to change the way you view the future. Oh, really, that's all that we need to happen today is those that feel like a reject. You just need to meet a Redeemer today, and there is a new birth available that will change the course of your life forever. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. She left the land of backsliding and headed home to a land of blessing. No wonder Naomi rejoiced at the end of the story. Look at the town to which she returned. She's back at Bethlehem. In the Old Testament, everything, all the blessings of God, were contained and concerned about a place. We know in the New Testament, it's all about a person. It's about Jesus. But that first chapter is all about sorrow and it's all about suffering because they're leaving the land. You're going to the wrong place. But the last chapter is all about rejoicing because they're back in the land of blessing. Back where the songs of Zion are being sung. Boy, can you imagine, Naomi? I haven't heard that song in 10 years. I haven't heard that. Get back where the songs of Zion are being sung. Back where the worship of Jehovah is the law of the land. Back where the word of God was known again. Back where the table is spread. And back where God would dwell in the midst. All you've got to do is head to Shiloh. And there we'll find out that there's the presence of God. There's where the priests are. Oh, that's the time we rejoice. When you get back where where God is. Would you like to be home again? Or you lay down to sleep at night and know that God is watching over your soul? That's a reason to rejoice. She rejoices not only because of the town to which she returned, but because of the testimony she revealed. Listen, verse 21. I went out full, chapter 1, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. What's her testimony? We talk about the tragedy, but what she's really saying is, I wish I'd never left. I wish I'd never left here. I was full when I left here. And any true backslider will tell you my best days were the days when I was at the altar. The best days in life. Listen to me, young folks. Listen to those that have already been out there and coming back. They'll tell you that the best days were those days when I was in the presence of God. When I came to the house of God, I went out full. Sin now has changed me from full to empty. Sin has changed me from blessed to bitter. Sin has broken her down. But hang on, God's about to bring her back. That may be where somebody's sitting at today. And sin has broke you down. But the grace of God is here today to bring you back. God can turn it around. She lost her future down there. Her sons are gone down there. But the women of the city would say to her, now yeah, your son's gone. But thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better to thee than seven sons. God said you may not get back that which you lost. But what I'm going to give you is seven times better than what you've ever had before. Don't dwell on what you've lost. Dwell on what's available in the house of God today. No wonder she's rejoicing. You see the town, her testimony. Notice as we close the timing of her restoration. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. She not only made it home, she made it home in time for the harvest. Oh, like somebody, you still got time to come home today. It's harvest time. It's reunion Sunday. You made it home in time for the harvest. Oh, how different it looks. Bethlehem looks a lot different than it did 10 years ago when she left. It looks a lot different now. She never thought she'd ever see another Bethlehem harvest. But here she is, back home in time for the harvest. She thought her future died in Moab. She thought it had. For she buried her husband. She buried her sons. All that Moab ever gave her was a place to bury her dead. Now she's home, but really, what kind of future? With all, everything I've lost, really, preacher, what, with where I've been and what sin has done to my life, what kind of future do I really have? But I want you to look at Naomi. The Lord restored unto her the years that the locust had eaten. That reject Ruth, she just didn't meet the benevolent Redeemer Boaz. She didn't just meet him, she married him. And there came a day when a son was born, and they named him Obed. And then all of a sudden there's a knock on Grandma Naomi's door, and she said, look here, it's your boy. She lays Obed in the arms of Naomi. As you see, it was the law of the land that Obed would receive the inheritance of his father. So Naomi has an inheritance now. Her line, her name will be carried on. And they lay him in her hands, and the women would say unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, and his name may be famous in Israel. He said, hey, God's not left you. I want you to know everything else may be lost. Today in the house of God, I want you to understand God has not left you. You can find help and hope. Look, Naomi, what do you think about your future now? When the book closes, go home and read it. In chapter 4 through 18 through 22, the Holy Ghost lists 10 generations to close out the book of Ruth. He goes back to Perez that he might show the grace of God to Judah. But he ends with David that he might show the glory of God in Judah. And right in the middle is the grandson of a backslider named Naomi. That's a future. That's what God can do with the mess that Moab has made in your life. But the Holy Ghost wasn't done. For you go read Matthew chapter 1. It starts back at Abraham. Comes in there and gets Pharaohs again. And he starts naming names. He doesn't just quit at 10 generations. He starts adding names to this little boy named Obed. How Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. And David begat Solomon. And Solomon begat Rehoboam. And on, the list goes 14 generations. And then 14 more generations later, it comes to a boy by the name of Joseph, or Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, which was born Jesus, who is called Christ, and is part of the line of a backslider named Naomi, who made it home in time of the harvest. God kept naming names until he reached the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. Hey, there's a Savior in your future today. Stand to your feet right now all over the house. Stand to your feet all over the house. Lift your hands right now and ask the Lord to have his way this morning. Brother David. Lift your hands, church. Lift your hands. Worship the Lord. Harvest. 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 How about it today? How about it today? We got anybody in the house ready to head home for a harvest? Are you tired of where you've been? Are you tired of what sin has done? This altar's open right now. The Holy Ghost had just interrupted the service and gave you an altar call. The Holy Ghost has just reached out and let you know that there's a harvest here today. We've got time this morning. Let you step out of where you're at today and make your way down to an altar. Let you get tired of living in Moab. Get tired of living in that land that's just taken away. I'd like to get back to a blessed land today, preacher. I'd like to step out of where I'm at and find that blessing today. Hey, listen to me, young man. This is the right decision today. I can't help what your life has done to you and where they've taken you. It wasn't your decision, but you've got a decision you can make today how to change that life around. There is a story that's yet to be written, and it contains a visit with the Savior today. Oh, come on. Come on, step out of where you're at today and make your way down to an altar. Oh, those some that are responding now, why don't you join those that are coming on in around the altar today? Let's have a meeting with the Savior. There's a Savior that's in the house right now. Why don't you leave Moab and its mess behind and make your way to a meeting with the Redeemer today? It's time to head home for a harvest. Oh, come on, come on, come while these are coming. Come on, saints of God. Gather in around this altar right now. Come on, let's make it easy on those that need to head home today. Let them know how you do it. This is the way. Step out of where I know it looks like it's a long way off. I know that it looks like that you're too far. But really, the journey just starts with a step. And you step out of where you're at and head home for a harvest today.
He has left the 99 round up the wandering few.
Oh, the night will soon be settled,
and the fold will go alone.
Come on, come on, there's still room. Come on, there's still room. Come on, ma'am, join us at the altar right now. Come on, let's come around the altar right now. Come on, there's room for you. There's room for you this morning. Come on. Come on, there is a Redeemer in the house today. There's bread in the house today. Come on, don't starve on the husk of the swine. Oh, the prodigal was trying to feed himself on the husk of the swine. He don't have to do that. God's got something better for you today. Come on.
Come back.
Come home. Come on back.
Shepherd's calling you.
Come on.
99.
Oh, you leave the 99 and go after that which which is lost. Come on, you're the most important person in the house today. Come on.
He calls one last time in mercy. Come on home. Come back. The shepherd's calling you. He has left the 99 to round up the wandering few.
Oh, come on, the shepherd's calling today. Come on, the shepherd's calling today. Come on.
He calls one last time in mercy. Come on home.
Come home.
When you left the fold, you never meant to be absent for so long. Just a few short days, fun and games to play. Then the wandering would be done. But time has slipped away. Still you haven't prayed. Sin has bound you for so long. But the Father steps out calling. It's not too late to come back home.
Oh, it's not too late.
Come home. Come back.
Come on.
Shepherd's call.
Oh, there's a harvest here today.
He has left the 99.
Come on, let the Lord work.
To round up the wandering few. Oh, the night will soon be settled. And the fold will go on home. He calls one last time in mercy. Come on home.
He calls, come home.
Come back. Shepherd's calling you. He has left the 99 to round up the wandering few.
Oh,
for the night will soon be settled and the fold will go on home. He calls one last time in mercy. Come on home.
Like the prodigal son, the father the world that was around, it looked green and full of plenty. So you left the peace of home for new places now to roam. But they've left you cold and longing. Just a glimpse of home. He calls, come home,
come back. Will soon be settled, and the fold will go on home. He calls one last time in mercy. Come on home.
He calls, come home,
come back. The shepherd's calling you. He has left the 99 to round up the wandering few. For the night will soon be settled, and the fold will go on up. He calls one last time in mercy. Come on home.
Oh, come home,
come back. The shepherd's calling you. He has left the 99 to round up the wandering few.
Oh,
the night will soon be settled.